What if the key to fearless, fruitful Christian living is realizing you're already dead? And that's the best news you could ever hear. Because if you're dead, then you just might be resurrected. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotion. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, if you haven't checked us out, go to fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. We are gearing up for legislative session, and on fpiw.org, you can sign up for our prayer tour. And it's right there on the front page. We'd love to have you come down to Olympia during session, which is like January 12th to the end of March, April, somewhere right in there. And then we'd love to pray, have you pray over the judicial branch, executive branch, all that kind of good stuff. So sign up today and be a part of that. And if you want to do some stuff with the bills, go to fpiwaction.org and go to the bill library. And we're starting to build that out so that you can be active and let your voice be heard in Olympia. So we are excited about what we're doing. On our daily devotions, we're changing our heart so that we can change the public square. And my hope is that you are diving into God's word with us. We're in our series called Sin in My Life, and we're talking about how do we handle sin in our life? How does God see our sin? What is the difference Jesus makes? All that kind of great stuff. So if you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. It really does help us get the word out, get it out to everyone, and let them know about God's word. So we really, truly appreciate all of you who participate in our podcast and our daily devotion. So let's dive in here. Let's see, we're in Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 11, and we're going to talk about I live with Christ. And so if you haven't read Romans at all, I love Romans. It's one of my favorite books. We'll probably be in this book for quite some time, but we are on chapter 6 already. So let's read it together. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you that if you get a hold of this, your workplace will change. Your public square around you will change. The culture will change. Everything about our state of Washington will change if we get a hold of this. The first thing is, now, if we have died with Christ, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, have we died with Christ? You know, I got a picture over here of Christ on the cross. It's obviously AI generated, but it gets the point across, right? And the fact is, the key to a culture that is transformed, where we have, you know, you might want to say equality, diversity, equity, all those things that people are thinking that they can do through rules and regulations. Those are really heart issues, right? If you don't like a certain people group you only like other people groups, that's a heart problem. You have a cancer inside your heart that God wants to remove. God wants us to be people who love everyone. We love our neighbor. We see everyone created in the image of God. If you don't know how to treat people with impartiality, and you show favoritism, and you know those kind of things, God cares about those things. Those are heart issues. If you think the government should be your God, it's a heart issue. So he says, now if we have died with Christ, the first thing is by faith through grace we repent of our sins and turn to the living God and die to ourselves. We die to that fallenness and we say, God, you are my Lord. We confess Jesus as Lord. This goes on to say, we believe that we shall also live with him. So this is where you can't be a person, well, I guess you can be, but we shouldn't be a person that has a half gospel. So many of us only have the death gospel. Die, 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 die. But Jesus says, yes, repentance, and now you will live with him. You are saved. You are transformed. You are moved from the inside out. So think about this concept of when you died to Christ through repentance, you also were resurrected with Christ. So the first point here is death is no longer my master. Do you see why I said this changes everything? He says right there in the verse, death no longer is master over Jesus. Think about that for a moment. What changes when you understand that Jesus conquered death? You're no longer afraid. You're not saying, hey, this job is my provider. You say, no, I'm not going to die. Jesus is my provider. I'm going to honor and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because I am not afraid of death any longer. I will take a stand. So you're not fearful of man's opinions any longer. Why? Because you're not afraid. What can they do to you? If you've already died to self, there's nothing. Even if they kill this physical body, you still live as a Christ follower. So you get to stand in truth and in righteousness and holiness because you know that Jesus has conquered sin and death. Death is no longer a master over you. And then he says, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. So that means that we get to live to God. What does that mean to live to God? When you think about living to something or for something, you begin to understand that that becomes your motivating factor, that you live this life in the presence of Almighty God. I can remember when I was 16, I was living for getting a car. Like, you know, I got a part-time job, I mowed yards, and I was doing everything I could do to save up to get that car. I was living to get that. And my first car was a Ford Escort, if you remember those. And that's I went way back when they built them out of metal, right? And it was a stick shift and a manual transmission, and I lived for that. It was red, gold rims on that thing, black louvers on the back. It was a cool car. So I lived to get that car. Now, when you live for something or to something, you do it to accomplish that. And now we get to live for God or live to God. And think about this. The death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. We don't keep coming back to this death. The life that we live unto God now. The rest of our lives, it's for the glory of Almighty God. It's like, God, be glorified. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. What changes in our culture today when we understand that we are dead to sin? You are dead to all that. Sin no longer is your master. Sin no longer controls you any longer. You're dead to it. When we lived in Sandpoint specifically, we saw a lot of roadkill, a lot of deer on the side of the road that got hit by a car or a truck or whatever. They were dead. They weren't able to be deer anymore, right? I mean, they couldn't prance through the fields and all that. So when you're dead to sin, you no longer have to live to accomplish sin anymore. There are a whole bunch of us who are still living for alcohol, the next buzz, the next high, the next whatever it might be. We're living for the next form of getting power or the next wealth that we might get. We're living for all these things. But the reality is we can step back and say, no, I'm dead to sin. That doesn't control me anymore. It's not even a threat over me anymore. We get to begin to live unto God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. So because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross, you no longer are afraid of death. You're no longer afraid or a slave of sin. You now get to do something different. But you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the cherry on top of the sundae, or this is the most beautiful thing. You are alive to God. In other words, you're living as alive to God. And that means that the people around us who haven't experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, they are still living to death. They're still living for those things that bring death. But you get to live for the presence of Almighty God. You get to live for His glory. You get to live to bring Him attention. And you're not threatened by these things any longer. You may be an educator, and you have the opportunity today to glorify God by telling students the truth. That no longer are you living for the gospel of death. You're living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're living for the one who conquered sin and death, Jesus Christ. And the life that you now live, that you live in this flesh, you live for His glory. Think about that for a moment. I'm alive to God. I'm alive to God. I present myself to God. You're finally alive because Jesus Christ dwells in you. Have you ever noticed that when you lived for sin, you focused on it? I can remember when I drank a lot, or maybe not a lot, but well, I was drunk quite a bit. But I lived for that. I found reasons to do that. And it was like consuming. But when you live for God, you get to live for God. You're like, hey, God, what are we doing today? As I show up at this workplace, what's your goal for the day? How do I bring you glory and honor today? Oh, you want me to talk to someone today? Okay, who is it, God? You want me to pray for someone? Okay, who is it, God? God, you want me to show humility in a situation? Okay, who is it, God? And so you have this opportunity to live to God today. Even as legislative session is beginning, do you know that we can have legislators who die to themselves and their own interests and their own powers and what they can get out of it, or who they can get to vote for them so that they can stay in political power? But they begin to live for the glory of God and say, no, my King is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is the one who places people in authority. You can live to God today. But you are alive to God, and this is what's really important. It's because you're in Christ Jesus. So when you go back through these verses, if we go back to the top here, now if we have died with Christ, do you see why you want to die? Because you're in Christ, you're going to die with Christ. We believe that we should also live with Him. So both sides of the gospel, death and resurrection. And that you are one, you've been raised from the dead, and that you no longer have to be afraid any longer. Having been raised from the dead is never to die again. Death no longer is your master. For the death that you died in Christ Jesus. Your life is now hidden in Jesus Christ. They can do nothing to you. They can't take away God's provision from you. They can't take away all those things that you so think. I got to somehow, manipulate or conform, maybe that's a better word, conform to the things of this world in order to survive. No, death is no longer your master. You get to live to God. So I wrote down some questions today to make us ponder. What changes when we all live as dead to self? What changes? If every person in Washington said that, I'm going to die to self, I'm going to die with Jesus. I'm done. My flesh is done. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to be selfish anymore. I'm not going to live, so that I can be gratified or satisfied or anything like that. Noticed. I'm going to simply live for God. What would change if you died yourself? What would change when we all live as if alive from the dead? If the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what if you lived that way? Would fear be your master? Would anxiety be your master? Will the power levers of politics be your master? Or would you be able to stand very confident, knowing in whom you have believed, and knowing that you can speak the truth both in love, but in clarity? What changes when we all live knowing that we're alive from the dead? You say, well, wait, I've only been born once. No, you got to be born again. You got to be born again, where you begin to say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. This life that I live for the glory of God. And what changes when we all live for God? That was supposed to be not go, but for God. What changes when we live that way? Think about that for a moment. What would change if all of us lived for God? I think we would have a state that's incredibly, incredibly different if we all lived for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, we proclaim that we have died with Christ, but we didn't stay in that grave. We resurrected with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life that we now live, we live for the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, give us boldness and courage and strength and might today to walk in the newness of life that God has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. God, we know that this state of Washington is a great state based upon, God, our Constitution, the preamble says that we believe in the supernatural, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And so, God, we know that you are the supreme ruler of the universe. God, we know that you go before us in all things. And so, Lord, we proclaim today a heart of repentance where we have somehow neglected you and your law of holiness and righteousness. God, we turn to you and we ask for salvation. We pray for Governor Ferguson. We pray for salvation to come to Bob Ferguson today. Let him bow his knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we pray for any Republican, Democrat, Independent who has not turned to you. We pray that they will turn to you. Every school board member, county commissioner, sheriff, whoever, judges, God, we pray that you would show up in their dreams, that you would move in their hearts today, God, that they would begin to understand that you are the King, you are the Lord, and that you go before us in all things. So surround us today. Go before us today. We lift this up. As we walk into those workplaces today, God, open our eyes to see the lost, the hurting, the down, the outcast around us, and allow your Spirit to go before us each and every day. God, we pray these names in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.